The Alex Welsh Band with Bud Freeman ending a BBC television broadcast in 1966 and also drawing this week's jazz record request to a close. Goodbye from me, Alan Shipton, until 5 o'clock next Saturday. And now, here on BBC Radio 3, is Claire Martin with Jazz Lineup.
Hello. Coming up on this week's programme, a very special concert set from a band that have rightly earned their reputation as one of the UK's leading good time bands, Jazz Jamaica, recorded at this year's Glasgow Jazz Festival. The effervescent Jazz Jamaica, and stay tuned for that performance a bit later on in the programme. Also on the show, I'll be previewing this year's Edinburgh International Jazz and Blues Festival in the company of festival director Roger Spence. Plus, Jez Nelson will be here to share his love of Sun Ra in his centenary year, and he'll be bringing in a very special track recorded especially for BBC Radio 3 by the Sun Ra Orchestra. First up, though, something brand new featuring one of the most versatile and charismatic musicians on the scene, Derek Nash, with his band Saxapil, who formed over 30 years ago. Well, that's hard to imagine, but it's true, as I remember being in the crowd at their gigs in the early 1990s. Well, here they are, joined by pianist and TV personality Jules Holland on piano, which makes perfect sense, as Derek has been a long-standing player in Jules's big band. Let's hear Sticky Finger Boogie. From the album Funkadine, that was Sticky Finger Boogie by Sax Appeal, led by saxophonist Derek Nash, with Jules Holland on the piano for that track. That album was launched last week at the Pizza Express Jazz Club in Soho and is out now on the Jazzzit record label. Jules is just one of the artists performing at this year's Edinburgh International Jazz and Blues Festival. Stay tuned for a full preview coming up later on in the show. Hiromi is a jazz composer and pianist from Japan, known for her virtuosic technique and energetic live performances, and also a blend of musical genres such as post-bop, progressive rock, classical and fusion. Her new project is called the Trio Project, and although a mesmerising instrumentalist in her own right, she's teamed up with two equally formidable players, bassist Anthony Jackson and drummer Simon Phillips. You may know Anthony Jackson from his work with Chick Corea or Steely Dan, and Simon Phillips through his work with The Who, Judas Priest and Dave Gilmour. So it's an all-star lineup on the album Alive, and this is the funky Life Goes On. a very special and very unique musician who was very recently gracing our shores with three shows at the Cadogan Hall in London. That was Hiromi with Life Goes On from her new release, Alive. Hiromi was at the piano with the legendary Anthony Jackson on the bass and Simon Phillips on the drums. Well, something brand new now from singer-songwriter Jose James entitled While You Were Sleeping, and it's his fifth studio album and his second release for the prestigious Blue Note label. It's his follow-up to the widely acclaimed R&B and jazz-steeped No Beginning, No End, and it signals a new creative direction for James, who says that the record is a synthesis of everything I love about music. With a guest appearance by trumpeter Takuya Kuroda, let's hear Simply Beautiful.
What?
Al Green's classic Simply Beautiful, sung by Jose James and featuring Takuya Kuroda on trumpet. That was taken from the new release on the Blue Note label called While You Were Sleeping. Glasgow is alive and buzzing this summer as it hosts the Commonwealth Games, and Jazz Lineup will be bringing you some of the best of the great music that's helping the city to celebrate world-class sport and culture. Our concert set tonight is a great way to start celebrations with Gary Crosby's Jazz Jamaica, recorded at the Old Fruit Market as part of this year's Glasgow Jazz Festival on June the 28th. In 1991, inspired by the rhythms of traditional Jamaican music and the largely improvisational nature of jazz, Gary, who is one of the original jazz warriors, jazz double bassist and nephew of veteran Jamaican guitarist Ernest Ranglin, conceived a fusion of mento, ska, reggae and jazz styles in playing classic and modern jazz standards alongside Jamaican folk songs. To achieve this, he gathered a group of musicians drawn from the jazz and reggae circuits to form Jazz Jamaica. The lineup is Gary on double bass, he's also the MD and the band leader, Binka Goldings playing tenor sax, Camilla George on alto sax, Kevin Robinson's on trumpet, Nathaniel Cross on trombone, Deanne Gasper on piano and organ, Shirley Tete on guitar, Pete Eckford on percussion, and Rod Young is on drums. The band open with the Jamaican ska classic Liquidator. Jazz Jamaica with the theme from James Bond, ending tonight's concert set highlights, recorded at the Old Fruit Market as part of this year's Glasgow Jazz Festival, and that was recorded on Saturday, June the 28th. Well, playing just a few thousand yards away in a basement club that same evening at the festival was vocalist of the moment, Zara McFarlane. Here she is in fine voice from her latest album, If You Knew Her, and it's Her Eyes.
They watch you patiently and quietly. They glance around the room unknowing. If you would only take the time, what it is you find is the strength behind them. Although they gaze into the distance, although they put up much resistance, you can look straight into her eyes. Please don't be surprised by the strength behind them. Some say that it's just a twinkle glistening in the light. I know that these precious jewels reveal all the depths of the heart. Let them both reveal all the strength behind them.
Zara McFarlane with Her Eyes from her album If You Knew Her, which is out on Giles Peterson's label Brownswood Recordings. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, online, on FM and on digital radio. We're from the west coast of Scotland to the east. Next, I'll be previewing the forthcoming Edinburgh International Jazz and Blues Festival, which runs from the 18th to the 27th of July in the company of Festival Director Roger Spence. Before we hear from Roger, here's a track from one of the visiting bands performing this year, The Bad Plus. Ethan Iverson is on piano, Reed Anderson is on bass, and Dave King is playing the drums on this track, taken from their album called Made Possible, and it's Pound for Pound.
Thank you.
Pound for Pound, played there by The Bad Plus, who will be playing at this year's Edinburgh Jazz and Blues Festival, which runs from the 18th to the 27th of July, and they'll be playing the Queen's Hall on Saturday the 26th. Well, let's talk to the festival director now, Roger Spence. Hello, Roger.
Nice to talk to you, Claire.
Nice to talk to you too. So, Roger, let's talk about some of the great acts that you've got on this year's festival. By the way, what year is the festival in now?
This is the 36th year,
wow!
Which makes us the oldest running jazz festival. Of course, we added blues about 15 years ago. And in terms of the acts, you know, we have a lot of acts that can fill 2,000 seaters. We've got acts that can fill 800 seaters, 400 seaters. So everywhere you go, the venues in Edinburgh Jazz and Blues Festival are packed. Mm. We don't really see anybody as a headliner. You know, we think that Stephanie Trigg's solo in a 130-seater is just as important as presenting Van Morrison in a 2,000-seater. So we gave everything equal value.
Good. You're talking about it being your most ambitious program to date. Tell me why it's so ambitious.
Well, we're doing more shows. And so we've got about 150 shows, and we're spreading our net even wider. So we play in club venues where there's nobody over the age of 30. And at the same time, you know, we can have little lunchtime gigs where there's nobody under the age of 70. Mm. So we really are...
They're my favourites. That's what I'm used to.
They're the ones you like. You know, on top of that, you know, we have a really big range. So if you're wanting to come and hear Lenny Tristano music, we have a day of Lenny Tristano music where specialist jazz audiences can really get a kick. But we also have plenty of program where people who've never been to a jazz concert in their life can come along and think, that's great, I really love that. And what we try to do is just make the best jazz festival that we can. So no matter where you're coming from, we want to excite you.
Brilliant. And over 13 venues, over 10 days, it's huge. I mean, when you say we, your strong team, how many of you putting all this together?
Well, there's two of us, and you know, Fiona Alexander and I are the producers. We've been the producers for a little while now, and then we get together a team every year. It just assembles from January onwards. Mm-hmm. So it grows and then it shrinks.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the next track we're going to play. It's somebody who we both know and love very much, guitarist Martin Taylor. You've got a gig of his called Great Guitars, which is featuring three guitarists, Christian Escudé and Ulf Wakenius.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. They're at the Queen's Hall. That's going to be amazing.
These guys are going to turn up, rehearse for 2 hours and just play. And they're going to have fun. And then the audience is going to have fun because they can see that on the stage, these guys are working out how to do things. And they're doing things at such a high level.
Mm.
It really is a very special event to bring together music like that.
Brilliant. Well, let's hear something from Martin from his Double Standards album, which is Martin playing with Martin himself. And it's the track Bluesette. Martin Taylor, solo but accompanied by himself on that track, Bluesette, taken from his album Double Standards. And I'm talking to Roger Spence from Edinburgh Jazz and Blues Festival. Well, let's talk about the last track we're going to play, someone that I know very dear to your heart, the Chris Barber Band. Tell me about this. They were at the Queen's Hall on Friday the 18th of July, and he's still the great jazz master at the tender age of 84, isn't he?
I don't think he's played better ever in his life, and it's a remarkable situation. And I think the British jazz scene as a whole should really sit up and take notice of what's going on. You know, this is somebody who doesn't need to be playing, and yet he's playing the highest quality music. He's hiring the best guys. They're playing unbelievably high quality and consistently high quality music everywhere they play. My hat goes off to him. I think he's a true great of the British jazz scene.
Brilliant. So the Chris Barber Band will be playing at the Queen's Hall on Friday the 18th of July. Let's hear Chris Barber live, and this is the track Jamaica March featuring Joe Harriet. Our thanks to Roger Spence. Good luck with the festival, Roger.
Thanks very much. Hope to see you soon.
Thanks. Jamaica March, played by Chris Barber, and that was live from Maydevelle in 1963 and featured Joe Harriet. Don't forget, you can see the big Chris Barber Band at the Queen's Hall on Friday the 18th of July. Now, thanks again to Roger Spence for telling us all about the Edinburgh Jazz and Blues Festival, which runs from the 18th of July to Sunday the 27th of July. And for more information on this year's festival, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. 2014 marks the centenary of Maverick bandleader Sun Ra. He was born 100 years ago on May the 22nd in 1914 and passed away on May the 30th, 1993. Sun Ra claimed to be from the planet Saturn, and his body of work included some of the most forward-thinking jazz soundscapes ever committed to record. His band, The Orchestra, still continue to perform to this day under the direction of the original member, Marshall Allen. You may have caught some of the Ra celebrations recently on the BBC, including Jez Nelson's Jazz on 3 show. Well, to tell us more about all things Ra, it's my pleasure to welcome one of the biggest devotees of Ra's music. It's Jez himself. Jez, welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Claire.
Now, you met Sun Ra in June 1990. He was 76 then. That was a massive thing for you because you were a huge fan by then.
Well, actually, to be honest with you, I knew a bit about him, and I knew I was sort of attracted to the kind of weirdness of what he did, but I didn't know much of his music. That night, and the fact that I saw him play live for the first time a couple of nights later, and it utterly blew my mind, literally. I almost couldn't take it. It was so overwhelming. And he was such an incredible guy, so sort of moving, friendly, but profound, that it sent me on a journey which lasts until now, checking out his music and finding out as much about him as I possibly could.
What was so unique about his approach to music making, or do you think? I mean, what did you hear that night that struck such a deep chord with you?
Yeah, well, I think it's true, actually. Sometimes the kind of weird aspects of him overwhelm the fact that he was, in my view, a much overused word, but it's true, he was a musical genius. I mean, the thing was that he very much had his sort of roots in the swing era. He loved swing. He studied and played with Fletcher Henderson. He also recorded some doo-wop music. So he never lost those roots, but he was always, from the very start, incredibly progressive in what he did. So he was kind of writing some really, in a very unusual kind of harmonic way. He was kind of writing sort of what he called sort of space chords at a very early age. Never lost that swing thing, but throughout his life created these extraordinarily big bands, which at one moment would create these great chaotic sounds that the next minute would be kind of swinging and incredibly funky. Experimented in all sorts of music, sort of funk. I mean, he's revered by hip-hop producers because he was doing some kind of proto-rap things and electronic things at various stages in his career. I think you can say that he was a superb composer. He was a wonderful piano player, made some excellent solo piano records, and of course an extraordinary band leader in many ways. He had a series of, I guess, sort of communes, some called them cult houses, New York and then Philadelphia, and he would take in kind of musicians, some of them hard up on their luck, some of them just drawn to the music, and they would all live together. He would cook them what he called moon stew, and he would have these sometimes 18-hour rehearsals. He was well known as someone who didn't sleep very well, so he would write music all night, and then he would just wake the band up and say, right, we've got to learn this piece of music, and they would all kind of bundle out of bed and they'd go downstairs and he would rehearse them for 12 hours. It's amazing, really.
But they loved him and they stuck with him. I mean, I said in the introduction there's an original member of the band. I think he's you saw him last night playing at the Baritones, 81 years old, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, Charles Davis, who was on some of the earliest Sun Ra recordings made in the 1950s, is now in the band. Marshall Allen, who leads the band now, is 90 years old and stayed with Sun Ra throughout his entire career, and now still lives in the house and leads the band, and he is sprightly. I mean, if I'm breathing at all at 90, I'll be grateful. He's breathing into a saxophone and there's fire coming out of it. It's absolutely amazing. They must have a collective age, we were working out last night, of nearly 1,000 in the band, but they are brilliant still.
Well, Jez, you were talking about taking the guys into the studio. Tell us a bit about that before we hear this great track.
Well, it's just a lovely thing to be involved with, really, because a big part of Sun Ra's career was recording things in the studio, or in fact recording at home. He used to record a lot at home, but since his death, they haven't done that very much. They've always been recorded live and not great recordings. So it was really our ambition in this centenary year to get them into the studio and to record them really well with some of the original members still around, you know, Charles Davis and Marshall Allen. So it was a great thing and a privilege to be involved.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's hear Arkestra's track from this very special recording date. This is Queer Notions.
Thank you.
was the Sun Ra Orchestra with Queer Notions. And my thanks to Jez for sharing his passion and memories of Sun Ra. Also available on the iPlayer is a documentary Jez recorded recently for Radio 4 called Travelling the Spaceways, The Cult of Sun Ra. Reliving the night, he met the man himself. He also speaks with band members and Sun Ra enthusiasts, and it's worth checking out. For more info, check the link out on Jazz Lineup's page via the Radio 3 website. But that's nearly it for Jazz Lineup this week, but there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Geoffrey Smith's Jazz Tonight at midnight and Jez Nelson on Monday night at 11. And this week, Jez has a solo set by pianist Craig Taborn. On next week's Jazz Lineup, a very special edition live from Glasgow, the host city for the 2014 Commonwealth Games. I'll be joined by my colleague Julian Joseph, and we'll have music from the BBC Big Band and very special guest soloist Maceo Parker. But something new and very different to close tonight's show by drummer Dylan Howe. It's a project that's been 7 years in the making and is Dylan's first studio album in 10 years. Dylan Howe's Subterraneans is his radical new take on the instrumental cuts from David Bowie's 1977 albums Low and Heroes. New designs on Bowie's Berlin has just been released on the Motorik label, and I've chosen the cinematic soundscape that is the opening track, Subterraneans. For me, Claire Martin, until next time, bye-bye.
That was Dylan Howe with Subterraneans, ending this week's Jazz Lineup. The programme was produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. And as Claire mentioned, tune in next week to hear a special live broadcast of Jazz Lineup from Glasgow, featuring the saxophonist Maceo Parker and the BBC Big Band. And tonight, Geoffrey Smith will be back here at midnight, looking at the careers of two vocalists from the swing era, Mildred Bailey and Lee Wiley.
Hi, it's Barney here from Blue Peter, and I've got a special message for all parents, teachers and primary school pupils. The BBC's Ten Pieces project is gearing up for its start in October. The aim? Well, to introduce every 7 to 11-year-old in the country with 10 pieces of classical music and inspire them to respond creatively. The project starts in October with free screenings of a cinematic film featuring 10 celebrities and the BBC National Orchestra of Wales. This fantastic film will set young minds alight with wonderful music. It's going to be showing to schools in cinemas all over the UK. There are still some seats left, but you have to act quickly. So if your school hasn't signed up yet, go immediately to the 10 Pieces website, bbc.co.uk/10pieces, where you'll find a very special link about getting to see this wonderful film.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's just after 7:30. Time now for Live in Concert, which comes from Cheltenham. It's introduced from the stage by Christopher Cook.
A very warm welcome to the Town Hall here and the final orchestral concert in this year's Cheltenham Music Festival. We have an anniversary to celebrate this evening and a world premiere. Martin Brabbins conducts the National Orchestra of Wales in a performance of Gustav Holst's suite, The Planets, started exactly 100 years ago in 1914. But first, the premiere of Richard Blackford's The Great Animal Orchestra. Radio 4 regulars will perhaps remember hearing Bernie Krause's book, The Great Animal Orchestra, read on Book of the Week, and bending their ears and minds round the idea of biophony, the extraordinary sound worlds that animals, great and small, create in their specific habitats. Richard Blackford was hooked, and all the more so when he met Bernie Krause in California and heard his field recordings. The range of these sounds, their frequency and their time patterns were like individual instruments in an orchestra, and seen on screen as spectrograms, they appeared as a kind of musical score. So the Great Animal Orchestra began its journey to the concert hall, and in the process, the composer created music that derived its melodic curves and rhythms from these remarkable recordings. The work we're about to hear is in five movements, opening in Borneo, Sumatra, and the Arctic with introduction and tuning, and a pair of gibbons serenading each other in the early morning. Then, in scherzo and riffs, a chorus of tree frogs introduces the shakers, rattlers, and rollers at the back of the orchestra, gourds, woodblocks, and the clack, clack, clack of the xylophone, before the whole orchestra dances into a mighty jam session. In elegy, North American wolves howl with four French horns in a lament for a natural world that's so often put out of joint by just one animal, man. Then it's the turn of African elephants to have a solo in March and Charge, together with a handsome gorilla beating its chest and munching bamboo as woodwinds mutter darkly, and then shout against the brass as an adult gorilla wants her own way. The final movement in Richard Blackford's The Great Animal Orchestra belongs to the remarkable musician Wren, who clearly stole the composer's heart. It's a set of variations that mimic the Wren song and a reminder that Blackford studied with that master of birdsong, Olivier Messiaen. So now, will you please welcome Martin Brabbins to conduct the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, led tonight by Leslie Hadfield, in the world premiere of Richard Blackford's The Great Animal Orchestra.